A second case of the Omicron variant of COVID-19 has been found in the United States, this time in Minnesota, state officials say. The news comes just a day after health officials in San Francisco said they'd found a case of Omicron in California. Dr. Charles Chu runs the lab at the University of California, San Francisco, that discovered the sample. He spoke to ABC 7 News yesterday.
I really thought that it was only a matter of time before someone would be able to identify the first case of Omicron in the United States, rather than certainly the first case in California.
The lab used genomic sequencing to find Omicron. So let's learn more about that with Dana Crawford, genetic epidemiologist at Case Western Reserve University. Professor, welcome, and tell us about how this case in California was most likely discovered.
It seems that this is from a person who traveled to South Africa and entered the country November 22nd. This person then tested positive for COVID-19 and the SARS-CoV-2 virus on the 29th. So it seems that the PCR positive sample was flagged, and then that viral biospecimen was then sequenced by UCSF. So really, this is highlighting a quick turnaround from receipt of sample to assembling the sequences and posting it within about a two-day span, really highlighting how well we're actually doing now in genomic surveillance in the U.S. compared with a couple of months ago.
Yeah, and we'll get to that. But first, now that we know Omicron is here, is it still important to continue sequencing? I mean, what do we learn by continuing to do it?
Yes, it is important to continue sequencing. In this case, it seems that in the U.S., we were specifically looking for cases of Omicron. And so this is a specific strategy where we would flag PCR-positive cases that look like they might be Omicron. And so you have to sequence it to confirm. The way it might be flagged is that there is a known mutation in one of the targets for the PCR test, what's called an S gene dropout. And so it seems that any PCR positive test that comes back with that S gene dropout signature is likely going to be flagged for prioritized sequencing.
Does that mean it's actually pretty easy to identify?
Well, it's easy to flag and prioritize samples. This S gene dropout is actually not exclusive to Omicron. I believe the Alpha variant also has the same signature. Almost 100% of the sequences coming in are Delta in the U.S., so having that S gene dropout right now, it does look unusual, and it can then flag that sample for further sequencing. But we also want to be on the lookout for new emerging variants.
The CDC director, Rochelle Walensky, said this week that the U.S. is sequencing 80,000 positive samples a week, or somewhere between 5 and 10% of the cases. It was not that way at the start of the pandemic. In fact, we lagged far behind other countries. Do you think that the U.S. is now doing enough?
Compared with, say, March of 2021, we were only sequencing about 7,000 to 8,000 samples per week. So we really have ramped it up. The other encouraging news is that all 50 states are sending biospecimens and having genomes sequenced. So we really have a really good pipeline set up. There could be maybe efforts to ensure that sequencing is done more uniformly across the different states. So just as an example, I'm here in Cleveland, Ohio. So the state of Ohio, back earlier in 2021, only was sequencing 0.45% of their positive cases. And now we're up to about almost 5% of our positive cases. But compared with other states like Washington State, they sequence routinely over 10% of their samples that are positive. So really, there are differences in capacity and expertise and resources state by state, and even within states. But that really is reflective of our kind of piecemeal or patchwork system that we have set up for public health response in this country.
We see that four major U.S. airports, Atlanta, JFK, Newark, and San Francisco, they've all started to expand their surveillance to look for Omicron as people enter the country. Aside from that, what else should we be doing to ramp up surveillance?
We could, of course, sequence more samples and ensure that each state has sufficient capacity for searching for not just Omicron, but other variants that might emerge. But for us that are doing research, really what we need is better linkage across databases. So having the virus and its sequence, that's great. So we can learn about strains, mutation rates, how the frequency of strains changes over time. But none of that is linked to any human data or clinical data. So we don't have any answers right now to the pressing question of, well, does this new strain impact severity? Does this new strain evade the immune system for those that are vaccinated? And so really, we need linkages to those data and access to that linked data to properly and quickly do that research so we can actually answer some of those questions that are quite pressing right now.
Dana Crawford is a genetic epidemiologist at Case Western Reserve University in Cleveland. Professor Crawford, thank you very much.
Thank you so much.